you heard of an all-time bestseller that delivers practical information on marriage, time management, money management, and how to sleep well at night? You'd pick it up, I bet. Welcome to Through the Bible. If you're interested in all those things, then you've come to the right place. That all-time bestseller is the Bible. Today, our Bible teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, opens the Word of God and delivers some of those practical bits of information and encouragement. And better than that, though, our study of God's Word gives us God's heart. We'll discover how deep, how long, how wide is the love of God for us and for every person in the world. If you can, open your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 20. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to find your place aboard the Bible bus and turn in your copy of God's Word to the wonderful book of Deuteronomy. And as you do, I'll share a few letters with you from our fellow passengers on the Bible bus. This first one is from a listener of our Malagasy broadcast. Malagasy is spoken in Madagascar off the coast of Africa. The listener writes, "We hear this program through the Christian radio station. We hope to listen until the last book in the Bible. We really appreciate the simple teaching and the practical application of the Word of God, and we want to apply it to our spiritual lives." Through the Bible is being broadcast in over 24 languages throughout India. One is Urdu, spoken in places like Delhi, Hyderabad, and Bangladesh. This listener says, "Through the Word of God, I have started believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am being blessed through this program. Thank you for praying for me and my countrymen." Now, Tamil is also spoken in southern India and the country of Sri Lanka. This Tamil listener writes, "Whenever I sin, I feel the Lord correcting me. Your messages help me turn away from my sinful life. I am leading a life of victory in the Lord Jesus. Praise God." Continuing through Southeast Asia, let's hear from a friend in Indonesia who listens to Through the Bible in Sudanese. "I really want to be a salt for my community, but it is forbidden to talk about Jesus to my neighbor. So what I do is I just tune into your programs and tune it up very loudly so that my neighbors can also hear the truth." Well, isn't that great? Now, here's another letter. This is from a Sudanese listener who wrote, "Because we decided to follow Jesus, my family and I left our home and belongings and moved to the wilderness. It is very silent and dark in our new home. It was then that you became a very close friend. You come every day and talk to us and teach us about the Christian life." Wow. Such great letters from Southeast Asia. And if you'd like to join us on the World Prayer Team and praying for people in Southeast Asia and around the world, we'll be going through that region a couple of times this year. And it's always so gratifying to hear these letters and know that we're a part of what God is doing in these people's lives. If you have a heart to pray for the world, sign up today at ttb.org/pray. And let's do that as we open our time in God's Word. Father, focus our hearts on what really matters in our world, the things that please you. Draw us to yourself through your Word now. In Jesus' very precious name and for his name's sake we ask, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come today to the 20th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And we're entering here a very interesting section that we'll be in for sometime. Here we're going to look at first today the laws regulating warfare. Actually, it's concerning the draft. Nothing's quite as pertinent as that. And then there's laws regulating murder, marriage, and delinquent sons, and brother relationships, dress, the building code, the planting of seed, and marriage, and divorce, and the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, friends, can you have anything more pertinent than that for us today? Now, don't tell me that the book of Deuteronomy is a book that's way out, that it doesn't touch a life where we live it today. This is the law given to Israel. But there's certain basic principles here that if they're incorporated in our living, in our life, it would contribute to the happiness and the weal and the welfare of mankind. This is something very important. I'm convinced that the men who originally drew up our Constitution were men who were Bible-oriented. Problem today is that we have a society made up of people that are entirely ignorant of the Bible, and our lawmakers today actually appear to be stupid in many cases today. And as far as the Word of God is concerned, they are. And the blunders that are taking place today in politics, my friend, are enough to cause us to weep and howl, because these men, far from God and not knowing Him at all. Now, we're going to be, in the next few days, in this area, dealing with these things that they're trying to deal with in Washington their own way, and they've been wrestling with them for years. Now, let me get to our study. Chapter 20, verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Now this is something that's very important for the children of Israel. I'm not sure that it's important for us today. Now they say today, make love, not war. That sounds good as a little cliche and a little motto, but it's like a great many. It's absolutely meaningless. There are times to make war, because we're living in a sinful world. The heart of man is desperately wicked. And there are times when you need to protect yourself. And there are wars in which God is on one side. Napoleon put it like this. He said, God is on the side that has the largest battalions. But Napoleon found out that was a lie, because he won quite a few battles in which actually he didn't have the biggest battalions at all. Very frankly, the important thing for any nation, certainly so-called civilized and Christian nation, is this war that God is in. And if He's not in it, we ought not to be in it either. I'm afraid that we have folk that do not think in terms like that. Now, verse 2, it shall be when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is He that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Now that is something that is very important in warfare. Make sure that God is on your side, or better still, that you're on God's side. Now, God puts down four conditions, or four excuses that a man would have for not going to battle. Then we're going to see what it was that he had in mind. Verse 5, And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house, hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. Now a man has a new home, and he's just built it, and he hasn't had an opportunity to live in it. Well, that man's not to go into battle. Why? Because his heart naturally would be in that new home. He had set his heart upon it and his affection upon it. He wanted to live in it. Therefore, he's to have that opportunity. The second reason for a man not going to battle, And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard, and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. Now here's a man that has planted a vineyard. These people were an agrarian people. They were farmers. Most of Israel was. And this man has just got started. This is his business. He's planted a new vineyard. He hasn't had an opportunity to eat a grape off of it. Well, his heart is in that. His interest is there. He's to stay until he gets this started, until he eats of it, and another man eat of it if he's killed in battle. So let him stay till he gets it established. That's quite interesting, is it not? Then verse 7, you have the third reason. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. Here's a young man engaged to a girl, and he's drafted. Well, he's not to be taken. Why? Because he's in love with that girl, wants to marry her. Let him stay home. Let him marry the girl. That's the important thing. That's where his heart is. And he's not to go to battle. Verse 8. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that's fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. Now, there might be a man that just very frankly says, I'm a coward. I don't want to go fight. I'm afraid to. I don't want to go fight. And therefore, I want to stay home. I've always said that these are four good reasons for a man not going to war. Now, I don't think the first three reasons would have gotten me, but that last one would have. If you're afraid and faint-hearted, you're fearful, you're not to go. Now, I would have turned and gone home. And you remember how this worked. That was in Gideon's day. This law was applied to Gideon. Gideon started out with quite a few there, you recall. He had several thousand. He ended up with 300. Why? Well, because there were those there that when they came down to the water, they got down on all fours, took a drink. This other crowd, they went through and lapped it up like a dog. They said, let's get to the enemy, get this job done. We want to protect and save our nation. And so they're the ones that went to battle. These others did not. Now, I do not know about you, but I personally have not quite agreed with all this business of burning of draft cards. I've had great sympathy with many of these young men, but I wished instead of trying to blame it on the government and trying to blame it on something else, why don't they just come out and say they're yellow and they don't want to go fight? And I will agree that that's a good reason. That would have kept me out of the battle, I can assure you that. I wouldn't have gone. I couldn't have gone because I'd have to say my knees wouldn't hold me up. I wasn't permitted to play much football when I was in college and in high school for the very simple reason I had to work my way through school. And I'd never been able to prove whether I was a good enough player to be given a scholarship, and I'd actually have had to have more than a scholarship as I supported my mother. So I had to give it up, but I played a little, and I enjoyed it. But there's one thing about it. Right before that kickoff, when that whistle is blown, honestly, and I played the backfield, standing way back, my knees buckled. There were times when I would actually go down on one knee. I was so scared. But the minute I was hit, if I got that ball and I was hit, I want to tell you, from then on, I'm all right. You see, there was this excuse. But I wanted to play. Now, what is back of all of this? God says, I want my people to know two things when they go to war. One is, they're on the right side, that they're fighting for that which is right, and God is with them. The second thing that is very important is that they be enthusiastic about it. And I would say today that the draft was a good thing, provided it was put on this basis. I don't think it's a good thing unless it is put on this kind of a basis today. And I think if a fellow's yellow, he ought to say so. He said, I'll be honest with you, I'm yellow. I have no heart for this thing at all. And I think that would be an excuse, by the way. And it'd get rid of this motley mob that we've had today, that this is a war we're fighting for our country, and that the flag and that patriotism are really something. It's worthwhile, but not the way it's been carried on today by politicians, you see. So God was very wise after all. He had a marvelous arrangement here for his people, even in time of war. Now will you notice verse 11? And it shall be, if it make the answer of peace and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that's found therein shall be tributaries unto thee. They shall serve thee. Now, this all has to do with warfare, you see. And if it will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it. Now, this is another great principle. And you will recall that General Douglas MacArthur did not believe in fighting a war that you don't try to win. That's the curse of our nation, is its compromise and our phony piousity today. It's shot through our churches. It's in our government that we are a great, big, wonderful brother. Now, don't misunderstand me. I love my country. I love my nation. But I hate to see this type of thing. He said, don't fight a land war in Asia. He said in his day that if you're going to fight a war, you're to fight it to win. That's the purpose of it. And that's exactly what God says. You got no business to fight a war unless you're fighting it to win. May I say that God put down some very good principles here, friends, and I think that we've departed very far from them. Now we have in chapter 21 something that I think is quite interesting. It has to do with murder, and it's a very interesting thing. If one be found slain in the land, and this is verse 1, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it, lying in the field, and it be not known who hath slain him, then thy elders and thy judges shall come forth, and they shall measure unto the cities which are round about him that is slain. And it shall be that the city which is next unto the slain man, even the elders of that city, shall take a heifer which hath not been wrought with, and which hath not drawn in the yoke, and the elders of that city shall bring down the heifer unto a rough valley, which is neither eared nor sown, and shall strike off the heifer's neck there in the valley. Now this was to be an offering for the city that the dead man was found nearest. Here's a man that obviously has been murdered, and his body is found. They measure it, find out what city's closest to. And that city is held responsible for that man. May not be. It was slain in the city. That is true. But that city is held responsible. And here's what they were to do. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. For them the Lord thy God hath chosen to minister unto him and to bless in the name of the Lord. And by thy word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. And all the elders of that city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley, and they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charges, and the blood shall be forgiven them. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Now, this is without doubt a very wonderful law and a very wonderful arrangement, and it reveals a great basic truth here, and that great basic truth is this, that every community, every city, you and I bear a responsibility in the city that we live in, so that actually when crime takes place in that city, we have a certain responsibility. That's my reason for believing today that ultimately there will have to be a demand made by citizens, concerned citizens today, to demand that law be enforced today to get rid of the crimes that are taking place. Because God holds a community responsible. But this man's been found there. But wait just a minute. This lawgiver in this city says, I'm not guilty. I had nothing to do with that murder at all. All right, he is responsible. But therefore he shall come and ask for forgiveness, and it shall be forgiven him. I wonder if today, that even if there's any suggestion anywhere that America should ask God for forgiveness for our many crimes and the many things that are happening in this land of ours. It's one thing to say, oh, isn't it terrible, these things that are happening, and say, oh, isn't it awful? Another thing to go to God and say, oh, God, forgive us as a nation. Forgive us our sins today. Now, this also has another meaning here, and that meaning is just simply this. Christ was murdered. Yes, he was. But his death could save his murderers. And I think that centurion that had charge of his death is one of them. Then you have a remarkable law here that concerns the prodigal son. What should have happened to the prodigal son when he came home? Let's read and see. According to the law, and our Lord there that day, he shocked the crowd that listened to him when he gave the parable of the prodigal son. Listen to it under law. Verse 18, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they've chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He'll not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. All the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shalt thou put away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Will you notice, this is the law concerning the prodigal son. You can't imagine what a shock it was when our Lord gave the parable and that boy came home and that father went out to meet him. Why, immediately the crowd would say, well, that boy's going to be stoned to death. He's getting what's coming to him. Well, that father could say to his servants, go get a switch. Go get a hickory limb and bring it here. I'm going to whip this boy in an inch of his life. He has spent my money. He's disgraced my name. And according to the law, he'd had a right to do that. But what did he say? Why, he put his arms around the boy. He said, my boy was lost. He's come home. Friends, aren't you glad it's not under law today? When we came to God, if we'd have got justice, this is what we would have got. But we didn't. There was mercy there for us. And how wonderful and merciful God is to accept us and receive us. And then you have this remarkable case given here about a person that's guilty of a crime. He'll not remain all night on the tree, because cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And Paul speaks of that. Now, I'm going to save that until next time, and that'll finish this chapter. Then we're going to get into this 22nd chapter, and we're going to see this that has to do with women's clothes. It's going to have to do with building code. It has to do with what really is separation. It has to do with the sowing of seed, the wearing of garments, and it has to do with a wife that's not guilty in adultery and one that is guilty. My, these laws that we're going to see in this next chapter, in fact, the next few chapters, as we've said, deal with these things that are so pertinent for us today, and they put down great basic principles that this nation that we live in, had it continued on under the Constitution that was given by men, Bible-oriented, I think we'd have a different situation today. We wouldn't have lawlessness inside our borders and war beyond our borders.
Well, Deuteronomy certainly is a remarkable book. Its principles clearly prove the timelessness and the timeliness of the Word of God. If these studies in Deuteronomy have been valuable to you and your walk with the Lord, you can review them and even go deeper yourself. Here are several ways that you can do that. First, Dr. McGee's commentary on Deuteronomy is available this month at a reduced price. If you'd rather listen again, you can download these studies for free from ttb.org. Or if you'd prefer to purchase the complete study in a variety of formats, then go to our online store again. You'll find us online at ttb.org. Or give us a call to order. Our number is 1-800-65-BIBLE. To receive our resource catalog, you can ask for it when you call or write. Our address is Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325. London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Well, the weekend is ahead, and if you have a few minutes, write your Through the Bible story down and mail it in for Letter Month. Your testimony of God's faithfulness to bless His Word encourages us, and it strengthens your faith as well. And it's part of taking God's whole Word to the whole world. Now, on Monday, we'll learn how God cares about even the smallest details of your life. I sure don't want to miss that. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be saving you a seat on the Bible bus.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.